y'all, and welcome to Southern Fried Spooky, the podcast home of all things Southern the Spooky, and this week, Monstrous.
Put that thing back, or so help me, like that kind of Monsters, Inc.
Oh, I only saw that once.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
I'm your Carolina girl, Heather.
And I'm your Florida man, Tony.
We'd like to invite you to our virtual monster hunt, which means, please...
The Monster Mash!
He did the Monster Mash.
Please find us on our social media platforms and leave us some likes, stars, and dance critiques.
Yes, indeed.
We're on Facebook, and we have a Patreon. Please feel free to reach out with story ideas. Mm-hmm. We're getting lazy. So this week, we're covering a cryptid from West Virginia, which...
They all seem to reside in West Virginia.
I know, it's a very special place. While the Mountain State is known for being wild and wonderful, it may be a little more wild than we're even aware of. It does seem to have an unfair share of cryptids.
Well, you know, hard to say. You know what the word cryptid or crypto means, right?
Currency that can't be trusted?
And well, crypto means unseen.
Ooh,
so,
invisible.
Yeah.
Okay, so including, but not limited to, Sheep Squatch, the Snarly Yow, the Cumberland Dragon, Bigfoot, the Flatwoods Monster, which we covered a few weeks back, and of course, the famous Mothman.
Yeah.
As an aside, in West Virginia, there is a creature called the Appalachian Chupacabra. Minus the accent. All right, it's believed to be the descendant of immigrant chupacabras from elsewhere in the Americas. Yeah. The Appalachian chupacabra stands on four legs, is about 4 feet tall when measured from the shoulders to the ground, which I just totally envisioned somebody with a measuring tape doing that. Its back is lined with spikes, it has a pig snout and huge fangs, and its talons are like those found on birds of prey.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, so full disclosure, this tidbit was just brought to you by the need to fill some time.
Yeah. Also, sounds like someone's been delving into the chimera juice.
Right? It's like, let's see what happens if we put this with this. So, Grafton.
So, don't drink the cactus juice.
Grafton is a former railroad boomtown located in West Virginia.
Well, most of them were actually boomtowns because towns were built on the railroad back then. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, it's also famous for the invention of Mother's Day on May 12th, 1907.
Wow. Okay.
And unrelated to that, it's also the home of a creature called the Grafton Monster.
I would hope it's not related. Then we're going to have a whole Beowulf thing going on here.
It's Mother's Day, right?
Yeah.
The Grafton Monster is a large humanoid cryptid that's said to stalk the forests outside the town.
Okay.
The celery stalks at midnight.
Indeed. Benuncula.
Benicula.
Benicula.
Yes. I would love to find a vampire rabbit. That would be so cute.
It's like huge teeth and...
Are we having a Monty Python moment?
Almost old mom, thanks to you.
The monster is described as a large humanoid... Okay, here we go again. Bipedal creature with no visible head and covered in slick white seal-like skin. It's unclear, though, if it actually doesn't have a head or if its head is simply just folded close to its chest.
Mm.
It's like the ultimate jock with no neck.
Wow.
This man has no neck. In an article by the Grafton Sentinel published on June 18th, 1964, an anonymous teenager claimed the creature was 9 feet tall and about 4 feet wide.
That's a big creature.
Indeed it is. It also sounds like a piece of furniture.
It does.
The tale of the Grafton Monster finds its roots in the folklore of West Virginia. Indigenous tribes have long shared stories of similar hairy humanoid beings, suggesting that the legend predates, you know, the rest of us.
Mm.
Modern sightings. It was originally, after the indigenous one, of course, cited in 1964 by a reporter for the Grafton Sentinel, one Robert Cockrell.
I read that as cocktail.
Not quite what I'm going for. More like the big show-offy rooster.
Yeah.
He's from 1946 to 2022.
Wow.
According to Cockrell, his account was dismissed by the editors at his work, which makes me think of several Marvel superheroes being dismissed by the editors.
Make me pictures of Spider-Man!
Yeah, that.
Oh, J. Jonah Jameson, when will you stop being awesome?
So does that meme have, like, a good audio side to it, or is it just a visual?
What?
The laughing JJJ?
Oh, no, there's a visual to it. And there's audio to it as well.
Awesome.
Yes.
So the monster...
He has one of the best lines. The guy comes in and he's like, "Sir, there's somebody out here. They can't wait. They're about to."
The monster, you know, that thing that brings us here every week.
Yes.
Soon gained popularity throughout West Virginia, leading to large search parties aimed at finding the creature. Doesn't sound like it'd be hard to find.
I mean, 9 feet tall, missing a head, you would think that he'd
and
be
white.
Pretty recognizable, and it's not like he could sneak up on you.
One would think not, but, you know, sometimes those Bigfoot creatures tiptoe through the tulips.
Mm.
On June 16th, 1964, at around 11 p.m., Robert Cockrell, not Cocktail, the reporter, was driving along the Tigert River on Route 119, known as Riverside Drive, if you happen to be in the area, on his way home from work. He suddenly glimpsed a large white creature on the right-hand side of the road, the side with the river on it.
Yeah.
Hey, Betty.
Hey! O'Connell! It looks to me like I've got all the horses!
Hey, Betty! Looks to me like you're on the wrong side of the river!
According to Cockrell's account, the creature lumbered around the side of the road, which I guess in the woods you could lumber.
How does one exactly lumber?
Frankenstein shuffle, basically. I don't know about the arms being stuck straight out, but, okay. You know. At the same time, a low whistling noise... Isn't whistling generally considered high-pitched?
Yes.
I don't know.
The mash.
Lord. A low whistling noise, however that can be, seemed to come from further away in the direction of the river. Now, at a later time, ufologist Gray Barker, remember him? We've mentioned him.
Wow, we've mentioned him a couple of times.
Yeah, he's
popular.
I think we mentioned him with the Flatwoods Monster.
Yeah.
He's the alien.
And we also talked about him when we talked about Mothman.
Well, we haven't talked about Mothman.
No, I'm talking
yet.
About when we covered the whole people getting abducted and we
aside
about Mothman. We talked about him as well.
Well, welcome back, Gray Barker.
You're right.
Suggested that the noise was being emitted from the creature's spaceship. Obviously, Barker believed the creature was extraterrestrial, although I've heard that said about Bigfoot, which I'm just like, are we just... Okay, it reminds me of Amazon Women from the Moon, where the Loch Ness Monster turns out to be Jack the Ripper.
Right. we have just hit Mystery Science Theater levels.
Yeah, kind of have. So Cockrell naturally slowed down because lumbering white beast, and he was able to see that the creature was very large and appeared to be made entirely of muscle.
I don't know about that. If you saw something like that, would you just want to slow down or would you want to bail the hell out?
I'm more of the second, but that's just me. And of course, entirely of muscle, it makes me think of like an octopus that has no bone.
Yeah. Well, octopus only has one bone. Well, technically two, yeah. Mm.
It also had white seal-like fur. I don't know why they keep using that as the example, but it must be true. Everyone says the same thing.
Yeah.
And disturbingly did not appear to have a visible head. But the creature moved quickly out of lumbering state, out of view, and at that point, Cockrell sped home.
Well, what they didn't tell you was Cockrell had spent the night smoking the devil's lettuce.
I don't think so, but you know. Upon arriving at home,
and Cockrell liked the cocktails.
You're just funny. Cockrell contacted Jerry Morse and Jim Mouser, who was not a cat. These were two of his friends.
You know, you say that, I don't envision a cat doing its job. I'm thinking of the 1984 Ninja Turtles, the little mechanical robots called Mousers. I'll have to show them to you.
You're such a nerd.
I am.
You are. These were two of his friends. He explained the sighting and invited them to come with him back to that section of road to see what else could be seen. Just sort of like, guys, you won't believe this. Let's go see it again.
Guys, I just saw something that could totally rip me in half. Let's go and poke it.
And of course, they're like, yeah.
Well, this creature doesn't look riled up enough, so I'm going to poke him in the eye with a stick. He's got the strength of 10 Morgan Freemans.
That's quite strong, that is. But when they got back to the site, all they were able to find was trampled grass, so a very tiny crop circle of sorts. And the low whistling sound was still in the air and seemed to follow them around the site. I'm not sure how that happens, but, you know, I wasn't there. This is 10 years before me.
Dude, if this thing has a head, it doesn't have a head, it's not whistling. That's all I'm saying.
What if it's whistling from the other end?
Oh, wow. What if the head is the other end?
Oh, Lord. Okay. The next day at work, Cockrell told his editor at the Grafton Sentinel about his previous evening's adventures. The editors were not interested.
You serious? There's the door.
So Cockrell concluded that nothing more would come of his sighting after that point. Just sort of, okay. Clearly this is not someone with journalistic drive.
Right.
Cockrell's friends, however, remember them? Were fascinated that there was a monster on the loose. So Morse and Mouser shared their encounter all over town. It did not take long before monster hunting parties were formed, consisting mostly of teenagers with baseball bats. These roving groups of teens...
roving bands of teenagers!
Right? patrolled Riverside Drive, and soon new sightings were reported. The Grafton Sentinel interviewed some of the teenagers and produced an article about the creature on June 18th, 1964, entitled Teenage Monster Hunting Party's Latest Activity on Grafton Scene.
Wow.
Of course, when you read that, it's like, teenage monster? Okay.
Wolfman got nards.
That's wrong. More than 20 sightings were now reported following the various hunts, which Robert Cockrell interviewed in detail. Here are a couple of the sightings.
I have seen the creature called the Grafton Monster several times when I was a young man. It was very real. My first encounter was with my father cutting wood. We had finished and were loading the truck when our two dogs started barking. We stood there and listened. Something was walking, getting closer. My dad told me to get the gun from the cab. He carried a double-barrel 10-gauge with odd-odd buckshot. Whatever it was had picked up its pace and continued toward us. All we knew for sure was it was big and wasn't scared of us, the dogs, or the chainsaws. It stopped about 50-55 yards from us in the trees and went quiet. My dad pulled back both hammers and stood in front of me, told me to be ready. The next thing that happened, I'll never forget. It stepped out, looked at us, took three strides in our direction, turned, and walked back into the tree line. That was my first sighting of the beast, and I'll never forget it. My second encounter was about 2 months later at night, fishing alone. I spotted him on the opposite bank, and I got the hell out of the area.
As the monster parties morphed from teens with sporting equipment to adults with loaded guns, the police took notice and developed a bit of an interest, and probably a bit of a concern.
Yeah, there was some concern.
So they performed their own investigation. What they did or did not find, we may not know, but on the next day, June 19th, the Grafton Sentinel printed another article, this time dismissing the monster as simply the result of spring fever, as bored locals wildly imagined the creature, which was instead a handcart piled high with boxes.
Okay, nothing to see here, move along.
Yeah, apparently. The dismissal of the creature did somehow bring some calm to the town. This is clearly a pre-internet series
well,
of people.
64, yeah.
Where they're like, oh, okay.
This is the internet back then was you met your friends riding bicycles and scuttlebutt ensued.
Indeed. And The authorities were relieved that no one had been shot or hurt during these monster hunts, which does sound kind of fun.
Right.
Now, after the commotion died down, Cockrell further investigated his sighting and worked with paranormal expert Gray Barker.
Gray Barker again.
On what was never completed, an article for UFO Magazine. I would love to see a draft of that.
We really need to look up this Gray Barker person.
I know, right? That we need to add him. He's in, you've achieved many mentions in our podcast,
indeed,
sir. In September of 2008, an unnamed camper at Tiger Lake State Park claimed to have encountered the Grafton Monster during a late-night walk near the lakeshore. According to her account, she heard rustling noises coming from the nearby woods. Shocking, that is.
About to say, one would think that if there's a 9-foot creature lumbering about, it would be more than just a little bit of rustling.
As she turned her flashlight in that direction, she caught a glimpse of a large, hairy creature moving swiftly amongst the trees. The creature stood upright and appeared to have muscular features.
She's like, oh, oh, oh.
Right. Startled and frightened, the camper quickly retreated to her campsite, where I can only imagine she's hiding in some, you know, Teflon tent somewhere, vinyl, and reported the sighting to park authorities.
Not even, like, parachute material.
Oh, yeah. It's sort of the equivalent of pulling a sheet over your head, hoping that the monsters can't get you.
Right. And a monster creeping up out of your, from underneath your bed, they're like, tonight I'm going to kill you. Curse you! You pulled the blanket up! Don't let your tootsies come out. You're asleep yet.
A local woman known only as Mary claimed to have witnessed the Grafton Monster while walking her dog near the outskirts of Grafton. According to her account, she observed a large bipedal creature standing approximately 7 to 8 feet tall. A lot of people have trouble estimating size, I feel. Creature had a muscular build, covered in white shaggy hair, and possessed glowing yellow eyes. Now, where the eyes were, I'm not sure. Just in the middle of his chest.
Yeah.
She reported feeling an overwhelming sense of fear. Okay. Apropos.
Yeah.
And quickly retreated from the area. I like how diplomatic that is.
Yeah.
That sounds better than, I ran the hell away.
And I ran so far away.
Leaving the creature behind.
Indeed.
No date was included with that tidbit, mind you. So that's very useful. Worldwide interest in the Grafton Monster sort of waned after that over the next 50 years. Then the creature was featured in the 2018 video game Fallout 76.
Yep.
Set in a fictionalized version of West Virginia.
Or as they call it, Appalachia.
Yeah.
Like the entire game takes place in a fictional Virginia called Appalachia.
Historical fiction, yep. Yeah. And interest soared. Sites in the game, such as Grafton, have become a popular tourist stop for Fallout fans.
Mm-hmm. And also, not only does 76 feature the Grafton Monster, which is called something completely different,
yeah.
It also has Mothman, uh-huh. Chupacabra, and you can run into the Window Goat quite a few times.
Ooh, you must love that one.
Oh, yeah, right.
Does it have the Flatwoods Monster?
Yeah.
So it just has a nice collection of well-researched cryptids.
Whatever cryptids come from the Appalachian area, that's usually in there.
Of course, that's basically all along the eastern coast.
Yeah.
You know, that goes a long way. That's a lot of space
for
losing a governor.
I'll bring up the game and show you the map.
Okay. Oh, and in the summer of 2024, so for us right now, this year,
yeah.
The Grafton Monster will join an elite group of non-humans with festivals just for them.
Wow. See, here, when I'd never heard of this. I knew the creature from the game, but I'd never known
that
this
was
a real thing.
Allegedly?
Until you said something. Now, you said joining an elite group of non-humans. I was kind of hoping for, like, a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen version of, like, Universal Monsters.
That would be awesome. Okay, there you have your idea for your next comic.
Right.
Get cracking with the pen there, babe. Mm. So, in June of this year, I think, is the time they've decided, but summer will be the inaugural year of the Grafton Monster Festival, hosted by the Black Cat Rookery Bookstore in West Virginia, which that just sounds like a cool place. Home to the Grafton Monster Museum.
We may have to make a trip.
It's a long way to West Virginia, but I've been a couple of times, and
it's lovely.
Keep in mind,
we have friends there.
Oh, indeed. My late husband was from there.
No, what I'm saying is we have Renfair friends there too now.
Ooh.
Yes.
Well, ladies, gentlemen, and undeclared.
Yes.
You spent another approximately half hour of your life with us, and what do you have to show for it?
About 20 minutes, actually.
I hope it was worth it to you.
Indeed.
By the way, just a few days ago, March 6th, 2024, was our 2-year anniversary.
That's right, yeah.
Of doing this. So yep. Go us. Go you, if you've actually listened to us from the beginning. We haven't gone back to re-listen to the early ones.
And then again,
I'm afraid it might make me cringe.
Go you, and we also apologize. So there we go.
Congratulations to all of us. Mm. So we'll try to keep this thing going, and maybe you can have some ideas to share, and wander by our Facebook page and Indeed. Drop us a line. And as always, join us next week for more creepy fun. As usual, don't know what we're doing yet.
We will figure it out.
Oh, but we do have plans to do the Bunny Man Bridge for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course.
Indeed. There are a couple of things that I want to touch on, but I'll have to bring those up. You know,
we'll have to meet about it with the committee.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because otherwise the Men in Black will show up, yeah. And then it just gets awkward.
And Will Smith might slap me. You know, it just makes it all kinds of awkward.
I just think you wouldn't want to wash your face after that. That'd be cool. In the meantime, I'm your Carolina Grill.
Wow, you are.
I totally am.
And I'm your Florida ma'am.
You'd make a not so attractive
woman. I would
woman.
Not make a pretty woman. I've tried.
And we are Southern Fried Spoopy. I said spoopy.
Spoopy.
I did. Until next time.
Hi, bye, y'all. Oh, wait. Did I get that wrong? Bye, y'all.
However you want it.
Yeah. I don't know. One would think that a creature with no head would not be as scary as creatures that could, you know, see you and hunt you, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's the ghost of a cryptid.
Oh, that could be weird. Like nearly headless Bigfoot.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Something like
the
that.
The aftermath.
That's a cool idea.
Right? Maybe, okay, here's a question, a burning question.
Oh, dear.
Once somebody dies and becomes a zombie, does the ghost of that person be like, come on, man, don't eat that person, oh, you suck.
I do think that would also be a great story for a comic.
Oh, yes.